Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is episode 140 of the Say Hey Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Doug Hayes. It is October 17th, 2024. Rob, it's Thursday, man. Almost the weekend. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man, except for the Dodgers putting a beat down on those Metropolitans.
Again.
Yeah, this is been four games in that series, and they've all kind of been laughers. So, yeah, the Mets... do they play, what, tomorrow?
I'd imagine if it's 2-3-2, they'll play again tomorrow. I have a right.
They do. 2 o'clock game tomorrow. And oh, that's fun. Yeah, it sucks. Their backs will be against the wall, and you, me, and all of our friends in the Giants world will be faced with that Dodger World Series. Woo!
Hey, at least Cleveland made things interesting tonight. That was kind of a wild finish, man.
Yeah, no, I didn't get to watch a lot of that. Like I told you before, I was dealing with the DMV today, and I was watching it on my phone just a little bit, and yeah, the eighth, ninth, and tenth inning, my gosh, like just home run derby breaks out, and yeah, Cleveland got one. So yep. I guess we can't turn that series off just yet.
Well, and the next two are in Cleveland, so that series is far from over now, which is good. Maybe the Dodgers can, you know, go ahead and finish off tonight and then win tomorrow, and then they'll just have, like, a full week off and just look really shitty in the World Series.
That's kind of been the thing, right? You got these teams coming off these long breaks, and they look kind of sluggish, you know, out the gates, just like they did against the Padres. And then the Padres kind of choke that series away. So hopefully, like you said, just – finish off the Mets and sit around for 5 or 6 days, and whoever comes out of the American League, good luck, boys.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I would think if it comes down to, like, just, you know, pencil Los Angeles in, you got to think that the Yankees lineup at least would give the Dodgers fits with their pitching.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe Cleveland's pitching would give the Dodgers lineup the most fits. I don't know. It's. I think whoever it's going to be, it's the Dodgers are probably going to be favored to win that series. So,
yeah, I would think so. And I know Major League Baseball as a whole is just praying for that Dodger Yankee World Series.
Oh God, yeah.
It'd be the first time since 1981. Which, Doug, isn't that what kind of makes baseball so cool? Like, you got the Dodgers and the Yankees. It's two storied franchises, and all the history and all the Hall of Famers and just all the greatness that comes with both of those franchises. And they haven't met in the World Series since 1981. That's Fernando older than Valenzuela.
Was that Valenzuela's rookie year?
I have no clue. That sounds about right.
80-81 somewhere.
But yeah, I mean, here we are in our mid-30s, and we've never actually seen the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series. So it would be kind of interesting in that regard. It would be kind of interesting. Like, it would suck in a way, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, to put it in layman's terms, like, Dodgers-Yankees is Celtics-Lakers, yes, is Cowboys...
Steelers?
Yeah.
Steelers, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Just a lot of repeated matchups from when we were little, and we just... or not even alive, and to have it actually happen, even though we don't like those teams very much, it would be kind of cool to watch. So we'd root for the Yankees, of course, but
I think, like, this would be a rare chance where we'd be pulling for New York.
Absolutely, come on, there's no question about that one.
For sure. Hey, let's get in and get out tonight. So that's what she said. Sorry. Oh,
shut up.
I beat you to it. No, but all right. So, by the way, if you didn't check out episode 139 that we put out the other day, make sure you go back and listen. It was three things that Rob and I want to see the Giants do this offseason. It's a fun episode to record. But tonight, do something a little different. We're going to kind of, Rob and I are pretty vocal on here that we love doing our little list episodes. And this is kind of a list episode. So we are doing our five most important Giants. And this is in the entire organization. This is not just at the major league level. This is not potential outgoing guys or potential incoming guys. This is the entire organization of the five most important Giants as we stand today, October 17th. So, you ready to go?
Let's do it, man. You go first this time.
All right, I get to go first. All right, so starting at number five, I'm going to go Jung-Hoo Lee.
Okay.
And reason being is Giants gave this guy a, six-year deal last year, you know, four guaranteed, coming over from Japan in the KBO. And he comes in and is an immediate electric spark out in center field, making some great plays. He's fun to watch. He's one of the more fun Giants to watch in recent memory. Doesn't hit for a ton of power, appeared in 37 games, two home runs, 15 runs, just eight RBIs. The numbers weren't fantastic, but you could see the adjustment period for him, like, starting to kick in, and then of course he runs into the wall trying to make a play, and boom, he's done for the year. So that was just like a huge, like, early season May kill for us Giants fans, because we were excited to see what this guy can do, and he had his moments, and you were just, you know, realistically anticipating this guy's only going to get better and get accustomed to major league pitching and playing in Oracle Park every day. And I think that's what was important too. And then moving forward into now, why we're talking about how he's on my, you know, most important Giants list, is he's going to be out there every day, opening day of 2025 and beyond. He's going to be ready to go. He's healthy. And I think the Giants, you know, in the last couple months of the season, were missing a guy like him that could, you know, put the ball in play a lot. You know, he only struck out 8.2% of the time. He was putting the ball in play a lot. Which, you know, when you have, I'd say he has above average to good major league speed, that's an issue. So really excited to see Jung-Hoo Lee again in 2025, and he's definitely a very important piece in this organization.
Yeah, Yoo-Hoo, man, my boy. Like, we definitely missed him last year after he risked his life, basically, going for that home run in center field. And, yeah, it just didn't work out for him. His rookie year out here, but like you said, man, just a hell of a player all around, very exciting. Like, he was the reason, I think you and I can both agree, he was the reason that we were staying kind of into it the first couple months of the year, because we liked watching him hit, we liked watching him play the field. He was he was an exciting guy, like you said, spark plug, you know, at the top of that lineup. So good call, man. Like, the Giants definitely need Jung-Hoo Lee to get healthy and start leading this team again. And it's a lot easier when you have a guy on first with nobody out a lot of the time. So get back to that. Good one.
Thank you.
All right. So my first one, I guess this would be number five on the list. I'm going with Camilo Duvall.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. Cause I imagine, you know, barring a trade, of course, he will be back next year. We don't know in what capacity or role that'll be. And you know, it just wasn't a good year for Camilo last year. The strikeouts were there. You have 78 Ks in 59 innings in 62 games. You know, the stuff was there, but you could just see it right out the gates with Camilo last year. He just never really looked right. You know, am I right?
Yeah.
He just looked a little distracted, like annoyed, you know, like, I don't know, like, I don't want to, you know, venture inside of his head at all, but that it wasn't the guy that we had seen the two previous seasons. And, you know, it kind of set the table for Ryan Walker to become a closer, who ended the year on, you know, fantastically. And I imagine we'll open a spring training next year as the team's closer. But just the thought of Camilo Duvall getting back to, you know, the guy he was just a year ago, I mean, that makes the Giants back end of the bullpen so much more lethal. You know, whether he's the closer or the setup man, whatever, the guy's got, I mean, probably top five stuff in the game. Sure. Yeah, I mean, you never really want to look at the ERA too closely with relievers, but I mean, the 4.8 ERA with the 3.71 FIP, like some bad luck out there, like a lot of balls that got put into play against him did seem to find holes. Like, I don't know what you allude that to, but it was just from the jumps, whether it was bad luck, you know, him not feeling it out there, or, you know, getting dinged on the pitch clock, it didn't seem like he was all in this last season. But I really, really believe, I addressed it the other night about how important I think it is to get, you know, a left-hand strikeout guy in the back end of the bullpen to kind of solidify things in the late innings. But just as importantly, I believe Camilo Duvall getting back to form is just as important.
I agree. I mean, let's talk reasons soon. Like, number one, he hasn't been paid yet. So, like, he's, no. You know, on a very friendly, you know, deal that obviously hasn't even really signed a contract yet, basically. But you know what I mean?
He turned one down.
Yeah, that's true. He did. And it probably shouldn't have, looking back at it now. But, yeah, I think just from, like, the eye test, watching him last year compared to the couple years before, he just never really seemed comfortable. He never really seemed like he was having fun out there. Like, Camilo Duvall is a closer. Like, mm-hmm. He's got electric stuff. He can consistently throw 100+. And he was frustrated a lot this last year. I mean, some moments where, hey, there's a ground ball to first and he's not rushing to get over to first. Like you said, I think the right word is distracted. Just feel like he's distracted a lot. I also feel like, and Camilo's my guy. I mean, I fucking love Camilo Duvall. But I think a thing that has hurt him too is he's tried so hard to get a really good second pitch to go on top of that heater that he throws, which I guess is technically a cutter. But, you know, he consistently can throw that 98 to 102, somewhere in there. And he's tried mixing in his slider the last couple of years, and sometimes he gets really slider happy. And he just throws it way too many times consecutively. And then obviously these are professional hitters. So it's not like he's fooling guys, especially this last season. And I remember saying a couple years ago, I'm like, if this guy can just establish something that goes inside to righties, away from lefties, and it's like a two seam sinker of some sort, which he did start to throw in the last year or two. I think if he just works on the, like, he doesn't need to learn anything else. Obviously, his command is always up and down, and he'll go in stretches where he has really good command, really bad command. But I agree. I think this is a prime year for him to, like, settle in, be like, dude, we need you in the eighth to ninth inning, hopefully eventually the ninth inning, and just get your shit back on track. I have not given up on Camilo Duvall for sure. And, yeah, I think that's a solid start for you. He is very important, especially to the current Giants going into this big season. So, yeah, I agree.
Big year for Camilo coming up.
All right, my number four, I'm going to pick a guy out of the minors. I'm going Carson Wisenhunt.
Oh.
Look, the Giants obviously have some veterans in their starting rotation with San Francisco already, and Logan Webb, and there's Robbie Ray, and, you know, Hayden Birdsong's, you know, we don't know if he's going to be in the rotation full-time next year. There's a possibility if they don't make any changes. And then, of course, like Kyle Harrison, expect him to be there. And Carson Wisenhunt is a 23-year-old lefty. He's actually a couple days away from being 24, actually, like this weekend. But drafted in 2022, second-round pick, out of East Carolina, like, he has arguably the best changeup in the minor leagues. And I've watched it a few times, and then even today I wanted to go back and look at some of his highlights because he's been in the minors. So there's not a ton of video on him, but there's enough you can kind of put stuff together. Like, he'll consistently throw a lot of mid-90s fastballs, and then his changeup, I think, and we'll find out more probably this year, is more of his put-out pitch. Dude, it's filthy. Like, that thing just drops in the dirt so quick and gets a lot of hitters out in front. Like I said, draft pick in 22, had a really strong 2023. with the Giants in San Jose and Eugene and Richmond. And then this year he was in, he made 25 starts for the River Cats in Sacramento. Numbers aren't great, 5.42 ERA, but struggled with command a lot, you know, over 4.5 walks per nine, but 11.61 Ks per nine. So the stuff is there. I would expect him to start the year, of course, in AAA again. And then who knows? Maybe this is a guy that's called up in the summer and hopefully he's a mainstay. The Giants have a young core of pitching guys, like I said, with Harrison and Birdsong. You know, there's Ragsdale is not too far away as well. But Wisenhunt being such a high pick and only a couple years ago, I think his development this year early is very important to the Giants, and that's why he's in my top five.
No, I think he's a really, really important dude going into next year. Like you said, probably not opening day or anything like that, but kind of on that same trajectory that Kyle Harrison was in, at the end of 2023. Like, you know, the stuff's there. Like, you want to get him out there probably sooner rather than later, because like you said, we don't even know what the Giants rotation situation is going to be come opening day of next year. You could see a Hayden Birdsong, you could see a Robbie Ray, of course. And but still, like with Robbie Ray's injury history and Hayden Birdsong going into year two, same thing, I guess, what you can say about Kyle Harrison. You don't know how they're gonna respond after this last season, where they both threw more innings than they ever have before. So we will see Wisenhunt, and I think it's one of those things where once he's up, he's probably not going to go back. I think that's why you bring up the timing. You're saying midsummer, and that's probably I say midsummer at the latest. I think we could see him sooner, to tell you the truth.
Possibly.
Because you just, especially, yeah, like I said, as of right now, we don't know. We don't know what's happening with Blake Snell. We don't know what the Jordan Hicks situation is. Outside of Logan Webb, I mean, quite simply put, there's a lot of question marks with the Giants rotation. Yeah, we know guys who we think will be there, but we don't know how they're going to perform. We just know that Logan Webb is really damn good. He's going to pitch opening day probably no matter what. And after that, who knows? So, yeah, like getting Wisenhunt up in the fold sooner rather than later, I think that's going to be huge, huge for next year. No doubt about it.
Agreed.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm staying down in the minors too, and I'm going to go with Bryce Eldridge.
Okay.
And we talked the other night about how my biggest thing was we need some thump in first base, and we did allude to Bryce Eldridge a little bit. But assuming they don't sign Pete Alonso, Paul Goldschmidt, and who else am I missing?
Who's Christian Walker.
Christian Walker, yes, thank you. Assuming they don't sign any of those guys, or Reese Hoskins, whatever, I don't see what's going to keep Bryce Eldridge in AAA for too long next year. I mean, the guy just absolutely demolished the minors last year. The guy's only 19. You know, played at damn near every, I think he did play at every level last year. My God. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, 23 jacks, 92 RBIs. You know, he struck out 132 times, you know, whatever, and 446 at bats. It's going to happen. Hit 292, OPS of 890. My God. Like, you hear that stuff and you're just ready to put him in the Giants lineup right now. Like you're ready to go full Juan Soto with him. If you're a Giants fan, you're looking at the roster as it currently stands. I suspect that the roster, gets improved. I suspect Buster makes a lot of moves this offseason, but whether it's on the field at first base or in a DH role, Bryce Eldridge is going to be a big part of that 2025 squad next year. And we look in the past at all these guys that the Giants have seemingly kind of whiffed on and kind of blew their value, calling them up too early or not calling them up at all. I think it's just it's imperative that the Giants hit a home run with Bryce Eldridge. No pun intended, of course.
I won't have an opinion on him because I might have him coming up soon. So
okay, moving on.
Number three, I'm gonna go Matt Chapman.
Okay.
I think, look, I wasn't thrilled that they gave him 6 years, but I understood it. And they needed to do something with a guy like this. Obviously, Matt Chapman, arguably the best glove at third base in the game, was the Giants' best player in 2024. There's like no doubt about that. And they secured him up before he even hit free agency, which I think that shows you how much he wants to be here. That shows you how much the Giants value him. You could argue that Chapman should be two and maybe even one on this list. Obviously, he's three for me, but had a great year, hit 247, slugged 463 with an on-base percentage of 328, a 121 WRC+, 27 home runs in 154 games. He stayed on the field. He has stayed on the field pretty much his entire career, knock on wood. Like, the guy stays healthy. He's going to go out there, and you're going to get elite defense, you know, 9 days out of 10 from Matt Chapman. So I think having him in, you know, I make fun of myself whenever I bring this up because I think it's cheesy, but a great locker room guy. He's respected. He wants to be in San Francisco, and I think he's right there with Logan Webb and this organization of like, hey, you know, we're the two vets. We're the two leaders that, you know, we have a lot of young guys in this organization that can look up to and kind of be the magnet to feed off of, you know, get information from, some pointers. Like, Matt Chapman's very valuable and very important to this Giants organization. So he's number three on my list, even though you could argue he could be higher.
Yes, I could argue he could be higher, and he might be higher on my list in a little bit. So I will get to Matt Chapman in a little bit, but yeah, no doubt, man. He is very important to what the Giants have planned in 2025, and the, you know, just look at the fact that they didn't wait very long to, or they didn't want to let him get to free agency, right? I mean, doesn't that, yeah, that kind of shows us right there? Matt Chapman is an important dude for the San Francisco Giants moving forward.
And they needed someone, you know, especially at third base, but in this infield that is going to be around for a while. Like, he is, yes, now the guy after Brandon Crawford and, you know, Brandon Belt that for years in that Giants infield. And it's like, okay, well, Matt Chapman was the guy that was there for years now. So it's, yeah, he's vital for this team for sure.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. And we'll talk more about him a little bit. My number three is Elliot Ramos.
Oh,
Elliot Ramos, to me, after the Jung-Hoo Lee injury last year, he was kind of the deodorant for us, right? As fans. Like, isn't that kind of a good way to put it? Then you had Luis Montes, you know, 2 week hot streak. But yeah, after Jung-Hoo Lee went down, it was like, damn, this team really fucking sucks. And they're really fucking boring. What the hell have we been doing here? And then Elliot Ramos, you know, gets a full time chance and really just knocks everybody's socks off, ascends. And all due to circumstance, we had kind of had it all in our heads that Elliot Ramos is not part of this team's future. Farhan is kind of down on him, and everybody in general was kind of down on him. And we never really got to see him play at a full time level in the bigs. But man, did he ever, you know, make the most of his opportunity last year? I mean, my goodness, in just 475 plate appearances, 22 jacks, 72 homers, an all-star appearance, hit 269. And you got to remember, he was hovering around 285, 280 most of the year. He kind of ended on a bit of a downstreak. But yeah, 792 OPS. And yeah, and this is a guy that we just didn't expect to see in the bigs. And it was just, he was such a breath of fresh air for all of us last year, the whole fan base. And he gave us a reason to watch it, you know, every day. And he's that guy who could be that first, you know, in such a long, long time. You know, he already cracked the all-star barrier where he can be that homegrown outfielder that, you know, we've been waiting for to kind of be a staple on this team for years to come. And I feel like if he can build off of last year, it's just, you know, it's going to give you know, other minor leaguers and the Giants organization as a whole just so much more confidence to kind of give more of these young guys a chance, because they were this close, you know, so close to letting Ramos get away without us ever seeing, you know, any of this. So yeah, if he can keep getting better and not hit a sophomore slump, I mean, I think it just sets a really, really good example for the Giants organization as a whole. And whether he's in left field or, I mean, he's not, we hope he's in left field. Like, he's not a center fielder. I think we all know that. And that'll be Jung-Hoo Lee's spot. But yeah, they moved around the entire outfield last year, and the dude just kind of got to do it all this last year, and he came out on the right side, and that's kind of what you do with young talent, which that's what the Giants haven't done in a long time, is let them go through it and see if they come out on the other side, and that there's light at the end of the tunnel, because usually the Giants just don't let them get that far.
I completely agree regarding Ramos, because like you just said, he was the one that finally got a leash and made the most of the opportunity. And like you said, ended up being an all-star, like going into next year is one of the better players in the lineup, going to be an everyday guy. And it's more for the entire organization, like you just said, showing, hey, if we give a guy a real opportunity, if we give him 100, 200 plate appearances, like, they can figure this out. Not everyone's going to, of course. Like, no, you know, course, most guys aren't going to. But, like you said, and we have said this countless times on this podcast, like, we were about 5 years ago, both of us, if you were to ask us, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Elliot Ramos, like, we're excited about that dude. We've seen him play in person with San Jose, and it looks like he's going to be like a future mainstay with the Giants. And then because of happenstance, or, you know, front office and ownership, whatever you want to say, he wasn't getting opportunities. And when he'd come up, he'd be up for a couple days and then sent back down. And they weren't taking him serious, so we stopped taking him serious.
Yeah.
Stopped taking him seriously. And so, like you said, unfortunate situation why he was called up. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee gets hurt. Michael Conforto gets hurt. Mike Yastrzemski gets hurt. Okay, well, I guess we'll throw Ramos in there for a consistent mainstay. Well, motherfucker made the most of it. And so, yeah, I think that situation alone is going to give the Giants and prospects in the Giants organization some hope. Like, if I get up there and I struggle right out of the gate, or the guy in front of me is hurt, maybe I will get a real opportunity to show, like, I can do this. And look what happened with Tyler Fitzgerald after that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah.
Same thing. And you could argue, like Ramos on this list, I'll be honest, he's not in my top five, but, like, absolutely deserves to be in there. And then you could argue Tyler Fitzgerald could be, like, realistically, like, five or four on this list.
Sure. Yeah.
Because of what he came up and did it at a consistent rate. And the tear he did, I mean, I'm taking away from Ramos here, but you get my point. Like, definitely excited to see what Elliot Ramos can do for, you know, a curtain call in 2025. So
definitely.
Yeah. That was your number three, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Bryce Eldridge. And we already talked about him, so I won't go too long on him. Look, like you said, big hitter, first baseman / DH type. The Giants have been looking for not only a homegrown guy that can do this, hopefully, at the major league level, and we say hopefully, of course, but like any guy, it doesn't even matter if he's free agent, traded for, whatever. They've been looking for a big guy that can just bop in the middle of their lineup, hit a lot of home runs, and move guys and drive guys in. And the Giants, and especially us fans, that's what we're hoping out of Bryce Eldridge, because, like, what was he drafted in 22, 23? No, 23, yeah, first-round pick of last year.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, and just flew through the minor leagues. Yeah, we don't need to go through the numbers. You already did that. But, you know, and the funny thing is like, you kind of just forget about it all already, because, like, he was drafted as a two-way guy. Pitcher, guy that can hit, you know, just like Reggie Crawford a couple years ago as well.
Yep.
And now they're both just doing one thing. One, unfortunately, Crawford is – went the pitching route, and he's hurt, and he's probably going to miss all of next year after having shoulder surgery, which sucks.
Yeah,
but sucks. Bryce Eldridge is knocking on the door already, and the kid's not even 20 yet, which is awesome. So, yeah, I'm super excited about Bryce Eldridge. Of course, pessimistic because he's a prospect, and we don't know, and we're the Giants, and we never get homegrown guys that can come up and hit for a lot of power, especially being that young. But I think he is so important to this organization with what he can be, because I don't think we've been this excited about a bat, a power bat, in a long time. That's why Bryce Elders is all the way up to number two for me.
And that's obviously, yeah, I agree with you. like I said earlier, you got to hope, you know, the experiences last year with Ramos and Fitzgerald, maybe that entices them to be like, yeah, let's just give this guy a full-time gig and let's just give him a shot. It's like, I don't think it'll be right away, but it will be sooner rather than later. And yeah, he brings something to the table that, like you said, that the Giants just haven't had in a long time. You know, a lefty power bat, and that, you know, put some balls into McCovey Cove, man. Like, yep. a homegrown guy hitting balls out into the Cove, man. Like, that's what the Giants have been missing for a while now. It's just that excitement where, like, you know, you always hear me talk about, hey, when certain guys, you know, come up to the plate, and I got to go take a piss and I'll hold it, he'll be one of those guys. I think he'll be one of those guys. And I can't wait to see it. I'm with you.
All right, Rob, who's your number two?
My number two is Logan Webb. And I didn't anticipate putting him this high, because everybody knows, like, I don't need to talk too much about Logan Webb. Everybody knows about Logan Webb and they know how important he is. But when you just kind of sit back and look at it, right now, with Blake Snell's future kind of being in limbo and not knowing what the situation with Kyle Harrison is going to be next year, how is he going to respond? Hayden Birdsong, Jordan Hicks, Keaton Wynn. Like, right now, Logan Webb is the guy. He's the only guy that you know that you can give the ball to and be like, all right, go get him, motherfucker. Like, if for whatever reason Logan Webb were to have a bad year next year, as things sit right now, the Giants are fucked. No matter, unless they turn into the Yankees or the Dodgers and they're scoring 6-7 runs a game somehow, you know, how Logan Webb performs is just, it is so important to the success of this team. Yeah, and yeah, ideally they add a number two guy like we talked the other day, whether it's Snell, Max Fried, Corbin Burns, somebody like that. That'll help them in the bigger picture. But if you don't get an ace performance out of Logan Webb next year, the Giants aren't going to get to where they want to go. And, you know, even, you know, this last year, like Logan Webb will probably tell you, you know, he didn't quite have his, you know, have his best stuff, you know, you know, 13-10, a 3.47 ERA, got over the 200 innings mark again, you know, fantastic, a FIP of 2.95. So there's probably a little bad luck in there. Logan Webb's, you know, he's a sinker baller, he's a ground ball pitcher, you know, they're the kings of bad luck. But but hearing him at the end of the year saying, you know, that he left a lot out there, like that kind of gave me a little hope going into next year that, you know, Logan Webb's going to come back with a vengeance next year and, you know, be even better than he's been the last couple of years. And it's so important the way things sit right now. It's so important that he does that. And he's the bona fide ace of this staff.
I was wondering who you're going to go with the two, because I now know you're number one, but I won't say it. But I guess I'll get into my number one, because it's Logan Webb. And if you take Logan Webb out of this rotation, the rest of uncertainty, which is the rest of this rotation, the Giants are a bad team. And like, he's that valuable, that, you know, talking on this episode, that important to this team. One, he's going into what, his fifth full season as a starter. And he's the leader of this team right there with, he's been here longer, Matt Chapman, but him and Chapman are the leaders of this team. Yes. And like you said, the last 3 years, 192 in a third innings, 216 last year, 204 and two thirds this year. Like, he is the ultimate workhorse in baseball right now.
Yes.
In a time where you're lucky to get 150 innings out of your ace in the staff. Logan Webb is the workhorse, the textbook workhorse in Major League Baseball in 2024. And that's kind of cool to know, and especially for a guy that's not going to, you know, blow it by you and strike out 10 per night. I mean, he averaged 7.5 Ks per nine this last year, yep, but had a career best 0.48 home runs per nine. He doesn't give up the long ball. He had another great season where he induces a lot of ground balls, nearly 57% in 2024. He does a great job leaving guys on base, almost 72%. Like, Logan Webb is the glue, not only for this rotation, but for the team, because when you're struggling and the Giants are throwing out 2 to 3 days in a row, guys that show promise, but Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsong, and maybe it's Eric Miller one night as an opener, or it's Mason Black getting a random start, and they struggle. They lose three in a row. Well, sure shit, here comes Logan Webb, and you have a chance to win every night or day when Logan Webb goes out there. And that's why it wasn't even a question for me that he's number one, because although, like you said, he had like a B season for his standards,
right?
He still had great numbers, and yes, you know that he can go out and give you 7-8 innings every 5 days if he has to, and that's why Logan Webb is my number one.
Yeah, just add on to that, man. Like, seeing the way Logan Webb wears it every time he goes out there, like good and bad, like particularly when he does have his best stuff, like the Giants will lose 3-2 and he goes seven innings, gives up two runs, four hits, you know, eight strikeouts, and you see him after the game, you can see it on his face, man. The dude's just pissed. And like you said, he's the clear cut, you know, leader in that locker room along with Matt Chapman right now. And I'm just hoping, you know, hoping against hope, probably, that, you know, Robbie Rake, you know, comes back into form, you know, next year, you know, after, you know, a year or coming off his surgery, which I expect him to be better, and then bring in back a Blake Snell or another guy, just, you know, just to give him a little bit of support, because, you know, like, you don't want Logan Webb to feel like he's got the weight of the whole fucking team on his shoulders every time he goes out there, and he's always trying to break up a two-game skid or a three-game skid. You know, you nailed it right there, man, because it seems like that happens more often than not with him. So they need to hopefully surround him with a couple other reliable arms and see where it takes him next year.
Yep. All right, Rob, take us home.
All right. So my number one is indeed Matt Chapman. And it's funny because when I first sat down to look at the list, I did not think I'd have Matt Chapman going number one. I thought it would be Logan Webb or hell, even an Elliot Ramos. But, you know, you look at last season, you know, he played in damn near every game, you know, 154 games, you know, at age 31. I mean, that's goddamn impressive right there. And nobody would have blamed him if he just said, hey, I need a couple days off, man. I'm kind of sore. This team kind of sucks, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, nobody would have blamed him. But, you know, and he was the first guy, you know, in a long time for Giants free agent signings to come in and kind of overachieve with his offensive numbers. You know, the 27 jacks, the 78 RBIs, OPS is of 790. And, you know, at Oracle Park where hitters, you know, allegedly, you know, go to die. And that didn't happen with Matt Chapman. You know, he left it all out there every day, and you could tell he wanted to be out there. And people forget too, he got to such a bad start last year. You know, remember in the first like 6 weeks of the year, he hit that home run the second night of the year in San Diego, that bomb, and then he just like went in a fat slump for about 6 weeks where dudes were just throwing fastballs right by him.
And he wasn't playing great defense either, which was very unlike him.
No, he was just maybe he was trying too hard. And I remember you know, the guys on KNBR talking about it, because it was really interesting. Because you didn't think you'd see that from a veteran, like, okay, you know, the guy is who he is. He's a made man. We everybody respects him. Like, you know, is he trying too hard out there? Because it was like any fastball above his hands, you know, he was swinging through and he couldn't catch up. But early in the season, but man, did he ever right the ship and kind of lead this team? You know, like I said, never taking days off. And I don't know if he'd have been my number one if the Giants hadn't made it a priority to extend him before the season ended. That kind of showed me right there what, you know, how they view Matt Chapman and how they did not want him to get free agency. I know Matt Chapman had spoken out saying that he didn't want to go through that process again and he wanted to stay, but you know, it takes two to tango, right? And I know he had a player option, but the Giants obviously felt the same way about him. Like, yeah, man, we don't want you to leave, man. We want you to be the leader of this team on the field. And like you said, even though it's very cliche and kind of corny, in the clubhouse, you know, be that new Brandon Crawford, you know, and lean the infield. And yeah, like it's funny because I did not think he was going to be my number one when I sat down to do this, but lo and behold, it's like, man, like he's kind of, I mean, no disrespect to Patrick Bailey. And I know the catcher is the captain of the defense, but I can't help but believe that, you know, like Matt Chapman's kind of the captain overall of this team going into 2025. So I think it's very important for him to, you know, if not completely repeat the season he had before, but get close to that and just, you know, be that guy on the field, be that mainstay that the Giants can kind of rely on every day.
I already talked about Chapman, so I don't need to, you know, prolong it, but it's funny. It took us over 40 minutes to bring up Patrick Bailey, and he didn't make either of our lists. And I'm sure the analytic guys are just those sons of bitches. I was like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I know we're getting ripped by a handful of nerds right now. You know, thanks for listening. that are mad that he's, first of all, not on our list, but not number one because, you know, the catcher's so vital. Look, like, Patrick Bailey's a very important player in this organization. There's no doubt. And, like, if you were to put him in your top five, the listener, your top five, I wouldn't argue it. That's fine. No. I understand that. But he's not in my top five because I don't, you know, he's not the best catcher in the league, in my opinion. I'm sorry. If he was, maybe he'd be there.
Well, hey, like, I will say he was, like, my honorable mention at, like, number six. Like, if I'd
be right there,
it would have been because, again, MVP plays the most important position on the field. He's the captain of the defense by definition, by default. That's what the catcher is. He's the smartest dude out there. But it's hard for me to put Patrick Bailey in the top five when he's
replaceable.
He's not going to play every day. He's going to sit out one game of the series more than likely, no matter what. And that's not his fault. That's the position he plays. Now, back in the day, because I know everyone's like, well, what about Buster Posey? Well, mostly on Buster Posey's days off, he played first base.
Played first, yep.
And he was the Giants' best hitter. And that's not a slight against Patrick Bailey. You know, Patrick Bailey is his own player. Like, he's phenomenal defensively, but it's hard to say he's the top five most important player on the team when he's going to be taking a day off, you know, one game a series more than likely, but that doesn't mean he's not important to the team. It's just, I don't know if he's that vital to the 2025, Giants, potential.
I feel you. I agree. Hey, if you're not joined up on Giants Chatter on Facebook, make sure you are. Follow us on X at Say Hey Doug, at Say Hey Rob, at Say Hey Podcast. If you're feeling nice, leave us a 5-star review and a nice little comment wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. And until then, make sure you go back, listen to episode 139, listen to tonight, spread the word with your friends, of course. And let's get out of here. Go Giants.
Get together, Mets.
Say hey. Say who? Say Willie. Say hey. Say who? Swinging at the plate. Say hey.